Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy, and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. We're your hosts, Mike and Bobby of Laptop Empires, obviously. Yeah. and today we're going to be talking about Facebook groups. And, you know, we've talked about communities and Facebook groups before in earlier episodes, but this is going to be one of those kind of like practical, actionable, here's how to do things kind of episodes, because we're going to talk to you, bit, you know, take all of our experience managing Facebook groups and really share it with you. And, you know,
I was just going to say, I get questions about this all the time. Like, people always want to know, you know, how have you been able to create the group, groups that you have, how have you and Mike been able to create,
course community.
Yeah, course community so quickly and so effectively. So I think this is going to be one where a lot of people want to know how to do this. I think it's pretty vital to a business. It's not necessary. You don't have to do this, but I think if you want to create a community and like really build something around your brand that you can get people to really have your back and do meetups and stuff like that, I think the Facebook groups are the best thing out there for that right now.
Yeah. In the last episode, we talked about podcasts and like whether you should or shouldn't do a podcast. And like one of the things we said is, you know, a podcast is helping you build your brand, build your authority, build a relationship with your audience. Yeah. And that's what a group does as well. But a group is probably a better first step, right? Less of an investment, you know, from a time money standpoint, or at least there's a time investment, but it's easier to manage and you can still build that relationship. And with a group, you can do as much or as little as you want to do. And that's the really great thing about it.
Well, you can do it. Yeah. I mean, we have different between our groups, like there's different levels of involvement.
Right.
You know, but I think for me, the Millennial Money Man community on Facebook right now was something that I worked I wouldn't say extremely. I worked pretty hard to build build that community and set the tone and all of that stuff. But now, I mean, it really churns without me having to jump in and do anything daily. Like it's a fairly isolated community. There's a ton of, it's ridiculous engagement in there. It's a very positive group. And I can just kind of come in when I want and interject, some just thoughts or just talk or interact with people. Conversation starters or just things like that, where I just get people to engage and they feel like I'm there all the time, probably because it's just, but it's been very positive because I think it's really like when we do things like we did the Millennial Money Man meetup in Houston, you know, we just posted about it in that community and there's, 20 or 30 people that showed up and we had a great time drinking and hanging out. And that kind of stuff, I think it builds an extra layer out to your business and, you know, being an influencer and all those kind of things. Like, I think it just adds another layer. So it's really, they're valuable tools and they're not that much work.
100%. And I think too, we're going to go into some best practices. So I think that's what we're going to jump into next, is talking about like, what have you learned with the Millennial Money Man community, with the Millennial Money Blogging community, with the, you know, the Laptop Empires course community.
Right.
But also, you know, I used Facebook for my online fitness business back in the day. The Facebook group was, you know, I had a coaching community and then I had the free community, and have helped a lot of business owners across various niches, bloggers, consultants, that sort of thing. I've helped these coaches set up their free groups and grow them to 10,000 plus people, or their paid groups, which are different and structured different, and grow those to 500, you know, plus people that are in there, you know, on a paying subscription. So we're going to take all of these things that we've learned doing it for ourselves, doing it for others, and kind of talk about these best practices that you can apply.
Right.
But I think it's important to know too, like, you don't have to have a Facebook group. And although I will make an argument that there's at least one niche that you should have a community, I also think that there are other niches where you shouldn't. So I think that'll be an interesting thing for us to talk about as well. And I'll explain that when we get to it, but let's start with best practices. And, you know, let's just talk groups in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be the paid versus free, but like, is there anything that just stands out to you big, like as a must when you're creating a group?
I think you have to set the tone very strongly from the beginning of what you want the behavior in the group to be like. And that's not necessarily setting down like hard ground rules or anything, but I think you have to almost by example show people what the engagement in that group is going to be moving forward.
That's a great point. You got to set the culture.
Yeah, you have to set the culture in that. So you can't just, like when I opened the Millennial Money Man group, that was one where it was, I think I blasted it out to my email list, and that one grew pretty quickly from like 0 to 1,000 in, let's say, like a week or two. But that was something where as soon as I started that group, I got in there, I was very active. I was really like, you know, pushing the engagement because people get into a group and they're not sure what to do from the beginning. Like you filter them into a group and they're like, you know, especially if it's a brand new group where there's not an established culture or not an established identity, you have to be the one that sets that tone. I think if I had launched that group and not been very active in the beginning, I don't think it would be what it is now. Now it just compounds on itself because people get in and they're like, okay, well, we do all these weird GIF offs and we do all these like cool, you know, we're positive and all these kind of things. But that was all basically me in the beginning because it was just me like setting the tone for how we're going to operate in this group, and then it grows from there. So I think that's important. If you're going to start a group, if you're going to launch it to your email list, or you're going to siphon people in there with paid traffic or whatever you're going to do, you've got to be super active, and you can step off the gas pedal a little bit, you know, later down the road. But you know, even with the Facebook Side Hustle course group,
you got to go hard at first.
We went hard, you know, and we set the tone. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that you have to do in the beginning.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you talk about setting the culture, like if you, now y'all won't see this if you're not in one of our courses, but if you go to the Laptop Empires course community and you go to the Millennial Money Man community, even though you and Melissa and a couple other people are steady, you know, like are all in there.
Yeah.
There is a different culture. And, you know, the, in the Millennial Money community, in the Millennial Money Man community,
right.
I didn't realize it was such a tongue twister. There's a lot of conversation in the sense that like, it's, what do you think about this topic? And then there's just massive threads of conversation, people sharing their opinion, or I need advice on this thing. And there's a lot of very serious talk in there. You still do kind of have like the GIF thing and all that, which is definitely shared in both communities, but it's more serious, I would say, in that community.
Yeah. It's less people, you know, like we don't have people just like posting silly things all the time. We have some, but I'd say like 80% of the engagement is people going there and asking like legitimate personal finance questions, whether it's investing, students, whatever, to get an answer and to get like a group think, kind of a crowdsourced answer, and find something that works for them. And so, you know, that's one of the things about that group that very early on, I wanted to make sure, you know, you can have groups that are very narrow-minded sometimes, especially if you get a lot of like-minded people.
And I wanted
it to be very like, you know, different opinions are accepted, you know, and because I think that what I've learned in personal finance, you know, I could have gone the Dave Ramsey route and said like, you have to pay off all debt immediately, credit cards are bad, all that kind of stuff. But I found in my own personal finance journey, you know, I would rather invest than pay off the house because the house is such a low interest rate and I know I can do really well investing instead.
Right.
Like I saw that even with myself, it was like, okay, I have all of these different ideas out there and I like something from this one and I like something from this one. So I wanted the group to reflect that. And so that's something that was hard to do in the beginning though, because a lot of people are very set in their ways, especially online.
Right. But it's turned into where it's a good discussion and people will share their opinion, even if they feel very strongly about their opinions, but you're getting the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And then on the flip side, inside of our course community, like it's less like, let's have a conversation about X thing. And it's more, I'm doing this, I need your feedback. I have this question, I need your answer. And then that's probably 60%. And then about 40% is like fun. Very lopsided, but it's because that is like our mission statement, right? Like make money, have fun. And that we established that very early. Like we go in there and we talk about this, like you're here to learn how to start this business, how to make money. But what is the point of having a business you can't have a good time? And especially if you take it full time, what's the point in working for yourself if it sucks?
Right.
And so there's a lot, you know, y'all will have like these GIF offs, like in Millennial Money Man, it'll be like someone will start it and it'll be this huge thread. Yeah. But in our community, it's almost 90% of the posts have at least one GIF response.
Yeah.
You know,
this like that's a joke. Yeah.
We communicate via GIF. Well, and
yeah, I think a lot of where that comes from though is in the Facebook or the Laptop Empires course community is what it's called now. That one, you know, our courses, people take the courses and they get in the group. Like our course and the way that we teach them to do things, that's, you know,
the way.
It's the way. It's like the Bible almost, you know, for like, because we have a specific way that we believe that people should either run Facebook ads for themselves or their blogs. And you know, when it comes to like being ethical and like doing all these things, like those are things we talk about in the course. And so the group is less of, oh, how do I do this technical thing? Because that's in the course. Like they've already paid for the course. They can go look at that. The group is more there like, okay, I'm trying these things. What are some ideas? My ads aren't working. What are some ideas?
Right.
And then the other part of it is the fun. Whereas on the personal finance group that I have, you know, there is no, you know, there is no Bible, you know, like it's Millennial Money Man is an idea. It's a blend of ideas as well. So, so I think that's where some of that difference comes from.
We've also created a massive culture of family and support and celebration inside of the course community, where it is, you know, like I posted the other day, cause we had a new member of the 5K club, which the 5K club is, you know, you take the course, you start getting clients. And when you reach the milestone of earning $5,000 a month in recurring revenue, then you get you join the club, you get a t-shirt, some other goodies that are a surprise. Right. Like we do these things to celebrate you. But we found out one of our members, actually this happened like twice recently, hit this milestone and didn't tell us. Right. And so like I posted the other day and I was like, if you hit the 5K club, we need to know. If you get a new client, we need to know. If you get your second or third client, we need to know. Like if you get an interview, we need to know. Like we want to know all the things so we can celebrate you as a community. And support you. And part of why that's been so big in that culture is because we're trying to help people that probably weren't entrepreneurs to start, to become entrepreneurs. And we want them to be successful. And part of that is we want to help them celebrate their wins, but we also want anybody that's not there yet, that's still in the slog, that's still trying to get it figured out. We want to help them be motivated in a great way. We've heard from our members that they're motivated is when they see other people killing it. When they see somebody that they interact with every day in the community has a win, they go, I'm next.
Yeah.
They can do it. I can do it. And that's something that we've really established, and to the point where like they do, they call themselves like family.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's what everybody says. Like, hey fam, like that is like how people open posts in the group.
So. Right. Yeah. You know, well, I think one of the most important things when we're talking about building this culture and the family environment and that kind of thing, one of the things that I believe in with these groups is that you have to be very, you have to follow through when it comes to removing people that are not, you know, that aren't interacting in the group correctly. And this is something we dealt with way less with the Laptop Empires course community because people are paying.
We had to kick out. Yeah.
Early,
kicked them out. Yeah.
And you have to set the tone and you have to also let people know that you will do that. In the Millennial Money Man community, that was the most difficult part in the beginning because for whatever reason, in the personal finance world, people like, they'll say some pretty heinous things to each other. Like just depending on like somebody, I want to pay off my student loans instead of invest or whatever. Somebody would be like, well, you're an idiot because blah, blah, blah. Like that's very common in the personal finance world, unfortunately.
Well, you had that recently. Somebody was like, I paid off my student loans. And the person came in was like, well, that was dumb because if you would have invested in this, this, and this, yeah. then you would have made this much more money. And, you know, then it was like, bring on Thor and the Banhammer.
Yeah. I mean, we purged, I remember in the very beginning, like we went through a thing where I didn't really like the community culture very much. And so I just told people straight up, like, here's the deal. If you're going to post something, you know, it better not be negative. If you're going to, you're not, there are no insults. Like first insult you throw, you're getting banned out of the group. And you'll have all these people that will do stuff and they'll test the rules or whatever, or they will say something insulting and we would just ban them immediately. Like no questions asked, yep. just because you're an adult, you know the rules. And this is actually something I learned from like setting a culture, setting a tone is something I learned from being a high school band director. Because if you let people in groups tend to act like teenagers, even if they're 40 years old, they act exactly like my high school students did. And with a band program, like if you give them an inch, they will take as much as humanly possible and they'll do the same thing in these groups. And so like we even had, at one point we had a guy who was a really smart guy and he seemed like he was nice, but he really, really liked to start problems. I don't know what it was. Like that was his fun. Yeah. You could tell like his fun during the day was like, you know, being sarcastic and being rude to people and stuff. And he was our top contributor for the group for a long time. And a lot of the group liked this guy a lot. And I just got tired of it one day. And I was just like, all right, dude, you're gone. And then we made an announcement about it. And we had more people leave the group and they thought that our group sucked and all that kind of stuff. And now like, you know, 10 months later, nobody even remembers, you know, they're just like, oh, this group's awesome. But you have to, it all goes back to, you've got to set the tone of the community. You've got yep. to be willing to get people out of the group very quickly and not give people second, third, fourth, fifth chances. Like
own the culture, make it yeah. what you want to be. The group yeah. will take on the personality that you present.
Yeah. So just ban people like yeah. crazy if they, yeah. if like they're not. Well, you know.
And a good example of that too is like the Millennial Money Man community is your community.
Right.
And the Laptop Empires community is our community. It's a little wilder in there because 50% of the personality, my 50% is a little wilder than you are.
Yeah.
So you get some of that too. Like it's going to take on your personality, but you can make it whatever you want. And you and I had long discussions about what we wanted out of that community before we launched the course.
Right.
And executed and it worked. Now, I think the next thing besides that, that was a great one. Obviously, we just spent like half the episode on it. Then the next yeah. thing is you have to show up every day.
Yeah.
And there's two ways that this works out. The first one is that you need to engage with your people. When they post and stuff, you need to be interacting. And the next part is you should probably post every day. And there's differences between free groups and yeah. paid groups. Like in a free group, I strongly feel like you have to post every day. Like I tell my students, like my not our students, but like the people that hire me that I coach, that is a requirement. Like you need to post every day. You do a great job of this in Millennial Money Man. There's a Monday theme, a Tuesday theme, a Wednesday theme, you know, like themed days are a great way to carry out the posting every day because it's consistent. They know what's coming. You can, you know, have a different variation of like what you write, but it's always there. And then you can do more posts if you want to. But so you need to either have the theme days or you need to be posting something every single day. So they're seeing your face every single day. Otherwise, you really risk the group dying or you not being like the face of it.
Right.
So I think that's big. The other part is this like engaging every day. It's a little different for us in the course community because there's technically five or six of us. Like there's the five Facebook ad experts and you've got Mel. And so we have a rule that like every post, like one of the experts needs to reply to it. So
yeah,
you and I might not reply to every post, but that's because somebody else has already taken care of it.
Right.
In a free group, you don't necessarily have to have that where you need to reply to every single post, but I'm a big believer that you should at least like every single post so that they know that you saw it because it's a little action, but it means a lot to the other person on the other end. Even if you just give a short comment or you like the post, they saw that you're paying attention to them. It makes them feel good. It makes them like you better because you're paying attention to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I agree. I agree with all that, with the exception, I'm not able anymore in the Millennial Money Man community because it does have like 10,000 people and the engagement is ridiculous. I can't engage with everybody or even post every day in there.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But I did in the beginning of that group, and now it grows because we've got traffic filtering into that group all the time. But what I will do there, I try to post a couple times a week, even if it's something simple. But if I have a thread, and it's harder in that group because now I'll do a thread and like 150 people will respond to it. But if I have 150 people responding, I will go through and like every single response or do the love button on every single response because I think it encourages people, you know, to continue to you know, comment on things and do things like that. But it also makes them realize that I do spend time in it. The thing about groups is they do take time. Like,
yeah,
there are some groups that I've seen from larger influencers that have like 20, 30,000 people where the influencer is never in there. And I don't think they're very high value. I don't think that they're
right.
You know, I think they're just there as a placeholder. But, you know, in terms of like from a business standpoint, if you're the influencer and you're going to promote something in there every once a quarter or something and you never interact in the group, you're not going to get many sales out of that. No. You know, but, you know, if you interact in something every single day or you're there as much as humanly possible and then you, you know, promote something to the group or you give them an opportunity, you're probably going to get some ROI there that's going to be really good. So it's hard. It does get harder as they get bigger, but you still have to try to find as many ways as possible to interact and show people that you actually care about them being in the group.
Yeah, 100%. And you though, you have your theme days. So you are like,
that one's in the blogging community.
Okay.
I've got so many groups
like Tuesday, yeah. Whatever, you know, like I see that stuff all the time.
That's the blogging. Yeah. The blogging one, we've got that. The Millennial Money Man one, I don't do that, but we have an admin team. So that one's a little bit different where I've got, I think, 5 admins at this point where, you know, everybody knows they're an admin. So it's either I'm posting in there, admins are posting, or, you know, we're really active in the group and monitoring the group and, you know, warning people to be nice or like, you know, just celebrating or like, you know, we do those things a lot. So it's like, you can either build out a team to make those things work and you still have to be involved or you can post every single day, like what you said, but the engagement is key, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, another big thing I think when it comes to groups is I think it's important to recognize your core members and get them involved if you can. You know, some of the best groups that I've seen on Facebook have found their core members that are always active and are highly active, and they've started to bring them into like a role within the group, whether it was as an admin or a content creator or whatever it may be, because those people are super high value. It's not just you. It's the people that really make the group great. And so if there's anything and it doesn't even have to be bringing them in an official capacity, doing something to show that you appreciate what they're doing.
Right.
You know, in a lot of the groups I've been a part of, they're business related groups. And so you'll see something that's like, hey, this person is always bringing it. And it'll be like, hey, I would be happy to hop on a call and help you with XYZ in your business, just as a thank you for doing this. Like, I mean, you just want to find ways to like, you'll know them, you'll know who it is. The people that are always showing up, they're always great. Interact with them, become friends with them. You know, show them some love for being such a big part of your community.
Yeah. I think that's huge. And I think the showing the love part, like something I always tell people to do, not only in their blogs, but like any content that they create, depending on what kind of brand you're, but if you're trying to do a personal brand, become an influencer, like you have to show the personal side of things. Like I early on in the Millennial Money Man community, I would share, you know, pretty deep stuff, you know, and I'm a big believer in that, you know, sharing your highs and lows and not just making it all generic stuff. Like, you know, what would you like in the personal finance one? It can't all just be like, what would you buy with blah, blah, blah. Like it's gotta be, you know, real life stuff. And I think that kind of connection or sharing that kind of emotion or sharing any kind of just real life stuff, it just makes the connection with your readers and people in your group so much stronger. And that just, it compounds on itself and everybody shares in a better way. So I think that that's huge though.
I also think it's important with groups that you give them access to you in some way that they can't get anywhere else. That can come in the form of content, can come in the form of events or challenges, swag, like we've done that.
Right.
You know, just you want to give them something. You want to give them something more. And there's so many things to do that. You know, something like a deeper content, not just I wrote a blog post about this topic, but the stuff that like you could sell, right? Like right. Here's like not instead of like here's a blog post about investing. Hey, I'm going to do a live training where I'm going to show you how to open up an investment account,
right?
Like something that's a little bit more in depth that you might not put on your blog or you might not put on whatever, like that is more personal for them. If there's something that you see people are really struggling with, like help them with that. You know, in the personal finance space, like you might do some sort of challenge that it's like, you know, a budgeting challenge. Like, hey, you know what? Like, here's an example. We're going to do a live training on how to set a budget. Like right. That might not be something that you put in a blog post. It's a deeper level of content. But I think challenges and video trainings and things like that are great ways for you to go deeper and help people implement and really take things to the next level. And groups are a great place for that because it's going to be high engagement. If it's a training, you can hype it up. You can get everyone excited. You can get them involved. You can start the conversation around it. You can do follow up on who's implementing it. If it's a challenge, you can actively get them like, we're doing this on this day, this on this day, this on this day. And
right.
It gets people really hyped up. We did, you know, we probably don't do enough of this, but we did a challenge in the course community. The very first challenge we did,
right?
Like it exploded. I think we had like 9 different people landed clients during that 5-day challenge. And some of them landed multiple clients. I remember it was like this massive, like it helped give people that extra little push they needed to be successful. Group is a great format to do those kind of things in.
Yeah. I mean, just the group gives you so many different options to, you know, create different pieces of content or, you know, just interact with people in I think really dynamic ways. I think one of the things that we should probably talk about real quickly is like, I don't think we need to go all the way into how to get people into a group, but that's one of the most common questions that I get is like, what are some ways that I can actually, because like the group sounds great. Like, oh, cool. Yeah. Have a Facebook group. But like, how the heck do you actually get people into it?
I have a straight up, let's get your thoughts on that really quickly, because I have a straight up actionable strategy that you can do right now that, I mean, I can dive into it, but.
Yeah, just go for it.
Cool. Okay. So this is one that I teach my fit pros all the time. And I think it works really well. I'm a big fan inside of free groups to do a free training that's in depth on a topic, maybe a half hour or something where you use Zoom or Google Hangouts or something of that nature, or even Facebook Live. And you really just kind of like teach and show a specific concept. And if you can do that, it's going to be something really high value in your group. You can do it whenever. You'll have the recording. They can access the recording later, but it's a great, the main reason is because it's a great lead gen tool for the group. And right. So there's a really simple process for this. Okay. On your page, your social media, you basically like you decide what that topic for the week is going to be. And then you're just going to take your phone and, you know, you're going to put it in front of your face and you're going to do a quick video or whatever, like a little live stream on your Facebook page. You're going to share it wherever. And you're just going to say, hey, you know, it's Mike. I'm on my way to the gym. But I just want to tell you all a little bit about this thing that we're doing Thursday at 5 p.m. Central time. We're going to talk about this, this, and this. You know, it's a great way to achieve X, Y, Z. We'd love for you to be there. If you're interested, you need to get in the Facebook group. It is a free event, but it's exclusively for the Facebook group. Here's the link, right?
Right.
And you do that. And then you just kind of promote it throughout the week and you let people know, and people are going to be going and joining the group just to get access to that free content. And then you deliver that free content. You're giving them that something extra, that next level thing. You're growing the group as well. And that is something that you can do every single week. And you could straight up, like fitness is a great example. You could pick a theme of the month and you could break it down into trainings over the course of a week. And so it might be like, for the month of September, we're going to be talking about nutrition. For the month of October, we're going to be talking about weightlifting. For the month of November, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to stay on track during the holidays. And you can just break it down into these individual things. And so that is one of my favorite ways to grow a Facebook group, is by creating a lead magnet, basically. But instead of saying, here's our free guide or our free training, enter your email, you're saying, here's our thing, join the group to get it.
Yeah, I think that's great. And then I think another kind of actionable step that you can take as a blogger, go through your Google Analytics, find your top 10 posts and put links to your group, to your community somewhere in there, you know, preferably, I guess, near the top. But I've had people filter in from the comment section if there's somebody that mentions it. But I think if you do that, you know, you're taking your existing traffic sources and you're just filtering people into the group, which is helpful because, like, you know, you can still hit it. It's basically like a lesser form of getting somebody on your email list almost, I feel like, because it's right. You're at least getting more access to that person over and over and over again.
It's the same principle. Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar. So I think that that's super important. And then the other piece of advice that I will say is that I think you should have entrance questions to get into a group. Facebook, you can put like two to three questions that where it's, you just ask, you know, simple things, but I think, you know, you ask where they found the group, and that's great because it allows you to see where people are coming into your group, like what traffic source is bringing them in or whatever. And then it also allows you to just ask like a fun question. And then I like to ask about multi-level marketing stuff. And I say, like, are you part of a multi-level marketing group? This is for a free group. But that, you know, that sets the tone that multi-level marketing stuff, not, you know, not to hate on it, but I don't believe in it very much at all for a business strategy. And I don't want a group, you know, it lowers the quality of your group tremendously if there's somebody in there trying to push MLM products. So we try to filter that stuff out. And I have my admins in the Millennial Money Man community, like if they see somebody that's very big on like, you know, whatever all the different ones are, there's a million of them, but they'll either tell that person, no, you can't be in the group, or we'll just keep an eye on them and make sure that they're not pushing products.
Yeah. I like to do three things with the questions. The first one is I like to know, how'd you find out about the group? Because I want to know where the traffic's coming from. Yeah. Number two is I want to know, what do you want to know more about, or what do you need help with? Like what information can we help you with in the group? That allows you to find out what the problems are for your community that can help you create products, lead magnets. It's a good research tool. Number three, I like to say, would you like this thing, and get their email? Because it's an optional thing. If they put their email in, now you've grown your list and you can send them a gift, whatever it may be. So that's kind of like how I like to do the group there. One other strategy, I definitely love building email lists like that. I think it's so important. Like it is kind of what I'm known for in the marketing world. It is one of my favorite things like to do when it comes to Facebook ads, you know, like with blogs, like optimizing, like when you find your good blog posts, like optimizing those to get more emails out of them. I love that. But email is one of the best ways to grow your group. And so really the first thing is when somebody joins your email list, use the thank you page to get them to join the group, unless you're doing something else. But that's a great chance to get them to join the group. Hey, you've got the free thing. If you'd like to know more about it, you want support, go here. This is my favorite strategy with emails. When somebody opts in for your lead magnet, somebody opts in for Bobby's blogging course, or they opt in for my, you know, grow your list on the cheap using Facebook ads, you know, webinar. If somebody opts in for that, you're going to send a welcome email and you're going to say, hey, thank you so much. Here's that thing. You know, I just delivered it for you. And then here's all this information about whitelisting and, you know, all like the boilerplate junk that goes into a welcome email. What a lot of people do is that they put their call to action to join the group in that first email. I used to do that too. Then I got an email when I opted in for something from Ryan Levesque down in Austin, Texas. He's the creator of the Ask Method. And he sent that email, no mention of the group. 12 minutes later, I got a second email that said, thank you for downloading. Here's our free community. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant, because it got my attention.
Right.
And I've started doing that with all of my clients since then, and it works like crazy. And here's why it works. Number one, that whole entire email is about the group and about the community, and it's a call to action to get people there. So you're getting their attention. It's not getting lost in all the other junk on the welcome email. Like, it's all about that. So it's really good. The other thing, it's day one. Your open rates are sky high. You're going to have this really high open rate, and it's and we see the same thing with email two as email one when it's on that first day. So putting like a 10-minute delay on that second email and having it be about the group, they're either going to not have seen the emails because they're at work or whatever, and they see them in their inbox later and they read both of them, or they're going to have gotten the first one, started reading the thing, and then they get hit with the second one. It works right. really well. And utilizing those automated email systems that you're probably already using is a great way to move people to your Facebook group. And it's great to have people in multiple places.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, totally. I think if you can diversify, because people like getting content in different ways. You know, like some people might 100%. Prefer getting an email, some people might prefer interacting in the group. But I think those are solid, you know, actionable strategies that you can implement right now to get people in your group. But I think it's huge. I think you should try to build a group if you can. And it's one of the first things that I would do with the blog is try to build a community around it.
Yeah. And I will say, I teased this at the beginning, so let's kind of end with this. I think that the niche, you know, that you're in matters, like has a big impact. I think for you, like in the personal finance community, like it's clearly a really good niche for having a good, strong community.
Yeah.
Another community that, or another niche that I think it's very strong for is fitness bloggers and online fitness coaches. I tell my fitness guys that it is a requirement.
Right.
Because in the fitness world, people are just at these different stages, right? And so if you think about like the journey you go from being out of shape to getting in shape, there's mindset shifts. And the first one is like, I'm overweight, I don't care, I'm going to eat a donut, right? And then the next one is, I'm overweight, I need to go do something about this, but I'm going to eat this donut today and I'll start tomorrow. Right. And then there's the, okay, I'm going to do about something about this. I'm going to try, but you keep falling off the wagon. You're trying to do it yourself. Or maybe it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to try, you know? And then the next one is I'm researching how to do this, but still to do it myself. And then there's finally like, I need the accountability. I need the support. I need the coaching. I'm going to hire somebody. And having that group and delivering the value and the lessons and the support and all of that kind of stuff for free allows you to reach and benefit people across that whole entire spectrum.
Right.
And that way, when they are finally to the point where they're ready to hire you or they're ready to buy a program or whatever it is, you're the only person they would even consider hiring from.
Yeah.
So I think that a free community is huge in the fitness world. Now, then you go to my world, you go to the online business world.
Yeah.
It can be very hit or miss. You know, there are so many people that hop from mentor to mentor, coach to coach, idea to idea, program to program, webinar to webinar, and they just constantly consume free content and they never buy or they never get traction or like they're too into all the different flavor of the months. That's kind of the culture. And so it can be hard to build a good free community because you get so many freebie seekers. Right. Because it's a world that's about marketing, it's about sales, and it's a culture of buying things. But there's also a culture of bootstrapping and doing it yourself and only halfway implementing. And so that's one of those things, like, it's a lot of work for us to offer support on how to run Facebook ads in the paid group. But if we were doing that for a free community, then we'd be offering all of this training that people might not take seriously because it's free, or we'd just be answering questions. And you see this culture of people ask a question, you answer it, then they're asking the same question in another group a week later because you didn't give them the answer they wanted.
Right.
And that's really frustrating. So it's one of the reasons why, like, who knows, we might start a Laptop Empires Facebook group one day, but we've consciously chosen not to right now. Because it doesn't quite make sense for us.
No.
So you need to understand the culture of the world that you live in and that you do business in and whether is this something that's going to be highly beneficial or not. And it can, there's a whole spectrum there. And so you just kind of have to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny that the similarities between the personal finance world and the personal fitness world are like, they're pretty shocking actually how similar it is, but I totally agree. It's not right for everything, but if it is right, then you should definitely be trying to work it out.
Yep. Cool. Any last nuggets of wisdom before we wrap this episode?
Just ban people like crazy in the beginning.
I'm so glad that was your advice. That cracks me up. Yeah. Just ban people like crazy. Yeah. And overly engage,
you
know. And then I would think, here's one more thing. Don't start a group until you're confident that you're going to be able to get a decent number of people in the group.
I was going to say something about that earlier.
An empty group.
Yeah. You don't want to have like 40 or 50 people in it. So I waited 3 years before I started my group. And it, there's nothing wrong with waiting, but you know, there's always something, even from a marketing standpoint, like having a lot of people join a group very quickly shows a lot of momentum for your brand. And that goes for blogging, podcasting, whatever. So it, you have to have at least a general idea that there are enough people to fill up a group before you jump in and just do it.
And I just thought of like 15 other topics, but we're up against the clock. So we're going to stay for time, but this is it's a fascinating Facebook groups are their own thing, man. And there's so much,
they're awesome.
But it comes back down to, what do we always talk about? Build relationships, mm-hmm. build friendships, get to know people, ask them what they need help with and help them with those things. And if you focus on the people and you're a good human being, you're going to do well.
Boom. I agree.
All right. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.